much of my mother has my mother left in me? How much of my love will be insane to some degree? And what about this feeling that I'm never good enough? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? How much of my father am I destined to become? Or will I dim the lights inside me just to satisfy someone? Or will I let this woman kill me, or do away with jealous love? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? I can't feel the love I want, I can't feel the love I need, but it's never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the thought? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? How much like my brothers do my brothers wanna be? Does a broken home become another broken family? Will we be there for each other like nobody ever could? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? I can't feel the love I want, I can't feel the love I need, but it's never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood? It's never gonna come the way I am. Could I change it if I wanted? Can I rise above the flood? Will it wash out in the water, or is it always in the blood?
Stand and let worship the Lord this morning.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. And nothing formed against me shall stand. Faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful.
I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of.
Is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of is always by my side.
I am guilty, ashamed of what I've done, what I've become. These hands are dirty. I dare not lift them up to the Holy One. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs, you break my chains, you overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? Afraid I've let you down. Inside I doubt that you could love me. But in your eyes there's only grace now. You plead my cause. You right my wrongs. You break my chains. You overcome. You gave your life to give me mine. You say that I am free. How can it be? How can it be?
His face I last shall see.
it will be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. Amen. Sing it out, hallelujah. We're singing, how wonderful all in my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. His love for me. Singing,
how wonderful that my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
I don't want you to remain standing. We're still continue to worship the Lord during this time, because one of the things that we forget is that giving back to God just a portion of the many gifts that He's given to us is still an act of worship, and we forget that at times. So we're going to continue. We're going to continue to sing and worship God as right now I ask that you join with me in prayer. Gracious God, we come to You, and we are just so thrilled for how marvelous and how wonderful You are. And so, God, in that, in the midst of our lives, we give You thanks. And as a portion of that, we are giving back to You and Your tithe and our offerings. God, bless them to further Your kingdom here, not ours, not Haven Community Church. Move that out of the way completely, and it's all Yours. Here and around the world, to our brothers and sisters right now who are in Haiti, to those in every part of the world that we support, and we know we're getting ready for Operation Christmas Child, all those things, God, we just pray that You will take these and do what You did years ago, multiply and use them for Your desire and Your will. And for that, we'll give You praise in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And everybody says and still worships. Amen. Let's just remain standing and worship the Lord.
My mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Again, just who I am, because I need to know. Ooh, oh, You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. You say I am held when I am falling short. And when think of me. feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
What I say now is you say hi to somebody while we let our children head to our Haven Kids.
Apple was popping up with an update. You kept messing me up. Like, I was like, crap. I was like, oh my God.
So there's these questions we all ask, big questions that have a huge effect on our lives. But there's all this information out there that makes finding a solution difficult. So we came up with a better way to give you the answers that you need. We did a survey at Easter and compiled a list of your top 6 most asked questions. That list then became a roadmap for this message series. Each week, we'll examine a single question and discover God's answers based on His Word. It's a series we like to call
this morning. The first from Job 9:25 from the New Century Version. My days go by faster than the runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. The second reading is from Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. The words of our Lord.
All right, we are talking about stress, and that's why Ron said job today, right? So. Okay, we have our prayer concerns that we have here. Again, a couple things. Number one, if you're visiting with us today, welcome, relax, have a good time, and we're just glad that you're here to connect to the Lord. If you're joining us church online, whether traveling or some other things, people trying to get those last couple vacation weekends in before we have that stuff that starts with an S and ends with W. So it'll be here before we know it. We'll be griping about that. But we do want you to just be welcomed and have a great time. But let's go ahead and pray at this time. Ron has lifted prayers for the new class of Stephen ministers. We pray that God will just guide them, open their hearts, minds, to help minister to those who are in need. Jill lifted up prayers for our mother, Joanne Cohen, who goes to Fox Chase tomorrow for her cancer check. Please pray for traveling mercies and a good report from tests. And Joanna Shea praises for radiation successful. A next step is meds for the next 5 years, then cancer-free. And she says, God is good. Thank you for all the prayers and support. And so we're excited about that. Definitely, aren't we, Joanna? All right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you will. with me. Join with me here. Heavenly Father, we come to you today once again just thanking you for your presence. Thank you for the worship that we've already experienced, and that, God, it's all about you. And we give you praise for who you are and for who you say we are. We sing that song, and it's a great song. You say, God, sometimes we hear that, but we don't believe it. So right now, I pray that everyone in the sound of my voice will hear exactly that, that they are your child. We thank you for good reports about healings. We thank you for those who are stepping out in ministry to hear the call that you have on their lives. And God, in all things, for joys, sorrows, concerns, whatever it may be, we know that you are still God. And I just pray today, as we talk about this topic called stress, I just pray that, God, that we know every single one of us does something with it, and probably it's not that good. And so, God, we just ask that you just bring us that peace. You are the Prince of Peace, and you bring that to our lives. And for that, we will give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody says, all right, a couple of announcements I want to touch on while we're here. Again, a welcome to everyone. I already touched on that. Our youth group will meet today after church, and they will be having a meeting regarding the youth rally. So if you're interested in that, please connect. I'm going to talk about grief share in a bit. There are two clipboards near you or already headed around, if you've already been trained and know that we pass those around at times. But one is for the Parish Foundation meal for next week. And there's still lots of opportunities for people to sign up and connect and help at Parish Foundation on September 15th. And also there's another one for the community kitchen that we will support on Friday, the 27th of September. And we will be serving lunch at the community kitchen. So we ask that you go ahead and connect with those. And also you can see some other information that we have there. Today is promotion Sunday for Sunday school. So those, if you have kids that are going up to the next level, you know they're really excited. They tend to do that. So they're having that. So if the kids are in a different place, that's probably why. So Debbie is connecting that. And Debbie DiVirgilio, if you have more questions, you can contact her about those things. All right. We have the information about Grief Share, and you're going to have information about what Grief Share is, how it's a weekly support group and seminar that helps people with the loss of a loved one or just loss in general. And we all have grief. So let's take a look at this video real quick, if you will.
I immediately went back to work so that I didn't have to think about my father's death. I was very fearful of going through any process that would make me have to revisit my father's death. I was afraid the pain would open a door to something that I couldn't handle. I started experiencing depression. It was slow at first. It began with just overwhelming feelings of being discontent, and it started escalating, and eventually depression and the emptiness was more overwhelming than the thought of facing the grief. The process of finally dealing with the grief began with Grief Share. It's very much like going to the ocean and wanting to take a swim. You've got that initial wave that comes at you, and then you have to face it, let it come over you, and then you shake yourself off and get ready for the next one. And the process of Grief Share helped me do that. With each wave that came, with each new lesson that I learned, I was able to let it wash over me, process it, and use it to move forward. I love talking about my father now. I love sharing his stories. I love watching videos. I love looking at the pictures, the memories. He was a wonderful man. Now I feel like, having accepted the loss, I can now celebrate the life he had and feel joy for those times.
Grief Share is a support group open to men and women dealing with the death of a loved one. To learn more about Grief Share, speak to the Grief Share leader at your church.
Information connected to that. We've had several people who've been through Grief Share, and it's an incredible, awesome connection to get people, not free from it, because we never get free from those we lose and the situations that we have, but to get to a place where that wave and that cloud of depression and loss changes into joy, that we were connected to that person's life. And I know that there's some people who've been through it would be glad to share with you about those things too. Okay? All right. So we are in week two. Okay? We are in week two of this series called You Wanted to Know. And these are questions. Back in Easter, we handed out a survey and gave you a list of some things, and you added some others of things that you wanted to know. So if you don't like this sermon series, look at the person next to you and say, "Why'd you ask that?" Okay? All right. So today we are talking about help, I am stressed. Help, I am stressed. And today, about 1 o'clock, let me get myself right here, I will be stressed even more so. Okay, so, and if Carson Wentz gets hurt this season, I will be very stressed, okay? So it's the beginning of football. I see purple. I see a hideous maroon thing back there. all right. So, all right, but seriously, here we go. Let's begin week two. Last week we talked about purpose. Again, if you missed that, go ahead and check that out on the web, on our website. You can also download the app. It's all there, and you can go ahead and connect to how finding your purpose. And today, I started looking. I've preached a lot on this topic, which tells me either I'm really bad at it or that you guys have a heck of a lot of stress. So we're gonna touch on this. And it's interesting, in looking some more, there's actually research stress institutes. They actually have an institute of stress. I wonder if they're stressed out in their job. Wouldn't that be kind of ironic? But what they found out is 44% of Americans say they are more stressed than they were 5 years ago. And that means a 10% increase per year, all right? 1 out of 5 Americans are in extreme stress, which means their body and their lives begin to manifest health issues. And 60%, what they've determined is 60% of all illnesses are rooted in stress. So 60% of that. So we could get healthier if we could get rid of some of the stress. And how many think that you deal with stress pretty well? Okay, good. That's why you asked the question. Not many. So, and those of you do, you probably stress out the person next to you, so don't worry about it. But this is something else I found. I thought this was pretty interesting. So I want to share this with you before we get rolling today. The population of the country is about 200 million. 84 million are retired. That leaves 116 million to do the work. There are 75 million in school, which leaves 41 million to do the work. Of this total, there are 22 million employed by the federal government. That leaves 19 million to do the work. 4 million are in the armed forces, which leaves 15 million to do the work. Take from that total 14.8 million who work for state and city governments, and that leaves 200,000 to do the work. There are 188,000 people in the hospital at any time, leaving 12,000 to do the work. Currently, there are 11,998 people in jail. That leaves 2 people to do the work, you and me, and you're just sitting there. So that's why I'm so stressed. Okay? Gotta love math, right? All right. There we go. Let's start. So what I thought I'd start today with some areas of stressors. And we're going to kind of look at these. And we're going to go through this list, and then we're going to get a little bit more into what God says about it, okay? So here's a stress. Here's one of the main stressors people have. Let me say relationships, okay? Relationships can be very stressful. The second one, let's look. Sometimes those relationships bring this thing called conflict, okay? So conflict is another stressor. I don't have blanks for this. This is just free, okay? Some people say the biggest reason why I'm stressed in my life is because of this. I'm married, okay? Say my biggest stressor is sitting right here, like this. And some of you may say, my biggest stressor in my life is I'm not married. Okay, so you might have that one. Another one may say, oh my gosh, one of the reasons and the things that stresses me so much is the deadlines that I have to make. I have deadlines and they are ridiculous and it keeps me stressed all the time. Other people may be on the other side of those previous two and they say, I'm stressed because I just went through a divorce. And that is a main stressor. Others may say, hey, I am really stressed because of my new job.
I have a new job. I'm figuring things out. It's a complete stressor. And other people may say, I am stressed because of my old job. And so they're tired of that one. Others may be dealing with a situation that you are stressed and it brings about, and you have so much sickness, or you may have illness in your family and in your life. Other people say, I am stressed because I have parenting. I have children, and they stress me out, or I have other family issues, and that stresses me to the max. Others have been stressed by expectations of others. Others expect things of them, have a pull in your life, and you just can't say no. So because you haven't been able to say no, you have all kinds of expectations of others that are going ahead, and they are stressing you out. And for me, my greatest stressor this year is this. Gabe Kapler and the Phillies. There we go. So, right? You join with me here. That stressed me out. Okay, that's just funny, the last one. Okay, it's not really. Okay. So here's what you go. I want to share with you something that Jesus said about stress. He said this, in this world you will have trouble. Have a great week, everybody, okay? In this world you will have trouble. It's going to get bad. You know, a lot of us have this kind of a mindset that, hey, when we follow Jesus, everything gets easy. No, he actually promised them life's going to get a little bit more difficult for you, okay? So in many ways, and he says, but take heart. Because I have overcome the world, and in me you will have peace. So it's in Christ that we have lasting peace. So in the middle of the struggle, like I'm not going to promise you today that you're going to be stress-free and, you know, sing love is a many splendid thing and dance through the daisies. You know, that's not what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you, you're going to leave here and you're going to have stress. But through Christ you can have peace in the midst of it. So let's look at these couple of these verses that I found today for the service. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord does what? Delivers him out of how many of them? All. Isn't that awesome? He delivers them out of all. So again, afflictions, we're going to have them. You may say, well, Jack, you know, here I am. I read my Bible, I pray, I worship, and I do that, but I still have these, because you're going to, but the Lord can pull you out of that. And I like this verse because that term afflictions in the Hebrew, the original text it was written in, actually comes from where they talked about the Assyrian form of torture, okay? And the Assyrian form of torture was they would stand you up to a post, and then they would pile rock upon rock upon rock upon rock on you until it crushed you. Some of you may feel that's your stress level right now, that if you have one more rock in your life, one more thing that is on your plate, one more demand of you, one more stressor in there, then guess what's going to happen? You are going to just be crushed under the weight of that. And so throughout my life, I've dealt with stress, both good and bad, and many times probably bad. There have been times in my life, the stress of ministry. I remember going to Lewis, Delaware and dealing with that. And I remember one time just trying to, even when I was even younger, trying to do the best job of a pastor and thinking that because my initials were JC, I was him and those kind of things, and that I would have to feel this. And I remember one time in my 20s and early 30s, actually going to the doctor and him hooking me up to an EKG machine because I was feeling this pounding and this weight on my chest, and then realizing, no, you just got to change some stuff up here. Have I done that? Yes and no in certain areas. So this is a sermon that is for me exactly as it is for you. But there are several things that weigh on us. So what I want to do is I want to share a few things that happen when we don't deal with stress properly. That happened to us according to the scripture. And here's the first one. And we have this list here. Number one, my resistance is lower. My resistance is lower. Our ability to say no starts to decrease. You know how when you're tired and somebody just asks you to do something and you don't want to do it and you feel like you shouldn't be doing it, but you just say yes because you're too tired to fight with it? Anybody been in this situation? And so, you know, and this includes, I will tell you, when we're really tired, this also includes our areas of sin. Because sin just means missing the mark. And sometimes we are just too exhausted to fight against those temptations that we have in life. And we end up in situations because we are just worn out and tired and exhausted. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 21. And this is, Jesus has been talking about the end times. And he says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with, and he gives a list, carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. There's that anxieties of life again. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. So what he's saying here is be careful, because if you get so weighed down by the stuff in life, there's going to be a time where you're just going to, where something that you have always said, no, I'm not going to do, or no, I'm not going to be there, or no, or yes, I will always say yes to this and no to that, that you're going to be in a point where you're going to be so worn down and so beaten down that you're just going to be, boom, caught in a trap that you have. So that's the first one. And so this is one that I think many of us deal with when we're exhausted, our emotions are inconsistent. Anybody ever live with somebody that, if they're here, just kind of give me like the, okay? Where the emotions are inconsistent because they are so exhausted. Like, for instance, you may come home and you say, hi, how was your day? Stop asking me stupid questions, okay? You know, and that has little to do with what you ask. It has to do with everything else. In psychology, we call them defense mechanisms, right? We have those kind of things that we have. But it's so inconsistent. Have you ever wondered at points in your life why you're so angry about something? I mean, just completely angry, where if there was a video of you being angry, you would say, what's wrong with that fool, right? You know, that you just like, right? And you're not dancing. I mean, it's just like, you just get angry about that. Or have you ever been someplace where somebody, like, I remember this one time. It was during a time of one of the musical chair moves of the United Methodist Church when I was there. And we were struggling with that. My car died on the way to go look for a house. I was about stir crazy. And I went to buy a new car. And it was actually used because I'm too cheap. But anyway, I went in and I really liked the car. It was a 2002 Jeep Grand Cherokee, blue, had leather seats. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I was went through all the paperwork. I was set to do that. And this guy came and he said, hey, we checked over everything. And the thing is, the horn doesn't work. And the parts place is closed, so we can't get one. And I was in such an emotional fit. Melissa's looking at me, rolling her eyes. I was in such an emotional state that I said, forget it. And they're like, what? The horn does not work. I don't want this car. He's like, what? And I was like, yes, I'm not leaving here without this car because I have to run all the way back up. I was being a complete imbecile at this point. Had no clue. This horn was like, took all that frustration of life, went into that horn not working, and I was going to kill everybody in that Acura dealership because I was like, you know, this horn, no, I'm walking away from this if I don't have this horn. The guy's like, are you serious? I was like, yes, I'm serious. Does this look like a face that's not serious? I'm sitting in my car like, I'm leaving. He said, hold on, sir. And he's running back in. And he said, is the problem that you don't want to come back up? I said, do you think so? Yes, that's the problem. I don't want to come back up here. I want my car now. And if I don't get it, I ain't buying it. So I was being in this whole kind of lunatic kind of car buyer thing. So he goes, sir, we talked to our manager. You can take this one as a loaner down and we'll drive it down to you. I said, all right, let's get it then. So, I mean, you know, and I got the car. It's insane, right? It had nothing to do with the horn. It had everything to do with my stress level. And I was completely insane at this moment. But hey, I had a nice little car that I drove down. They came and picked it up. It was awesome. All right. So again, the anxieties of life. Be ready. My emotions are inconsistent with that. Look, what was read to us. Look at Job. It says, my days go by faster than a runner. How many of you said, oh my gosh, it's already September. What has happened to this year? Okay. They go by like a runner. They go by fast. They fly away without, and here's the key point, they fly away without my seeing any joy. There's so many of us that just live day to day. And some of us, if we look past this last year, we say, my gosh, I spent more time in sorrow than I did with joy. And if you're spending more time in sorrow, because you may go, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. But how we say that when we get up, this is the day that the Lord has made and it stinks and I'm miserable. And I'm depressed, and here I am, right? And we grumble. So we say that if we have the day, and there's people year after year after year that have each and every day filled with no joy at all. Next one, my productivity suffers. What I do, I get less done by doing more. They've done studies on this and shown that people actually get less done by doing more. They stop using it. It's like, you remember a couple weeks, last week we talked about the power of five and the axe. So, like, for instance, someone once said, you know, doing too many things is like taking an axe and trying to chop down every tree. And you say, hey, wait, take a break for a while and sharpen the axe. You go, no, I'm chopping down the tree. But if the axe is sharp enough and you can get it in less hits, you can't sharpen it while you're hitting. You've got to take time, sharpen the axe, take a breath, and go ahead and do that so your productivity gets better. Look at what it says here in Proverbs 21:5. I think we have that right here. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. And then we have Proverbs 19. A person in a hurry makes a lot of mistakes. Has anybody ever made a lot of mistakes when you're in a hurry? Anybody made like mistakes? Anybody ever sent a mistaken email to someone? Or, you know, I think Apple sits around and laughs at people where like the text thing will flip sometime. Anybody have like you text the person the wrong thing because it did that? And one time, I think I shared this years ago, one time somebody sent me something. There was somebody who only called when they wanted something and usually had to deal with money. And so I went to, they sent me something, and Melissa's laughing again. And I went to send something to Melissa, and I said, can you believe they asked this? And I sent it back to them. And it said other things like, how dare they ask about that? And I will tell you, as your pastor, they said, what? And I said, oh, that was meant for someone else. It was about such and such. I lied like a banshee is what I did. Yes, I did. God forgave me. You will too, all right? It wasn't any of you, but man, it was good. It was like, I can't believe they asked. I think I blamed it on Hannah. Melissa was talking to me about Hannah. So I kind of lied, you know. It was meant for Melissa about, okay, anyway. But anybody done that? You know why I did that? I was in a hurry. Right? We do that a lot. Okay. All right. So look at what, next thing is, and this is what begins to happen when we're really exhausted. My life starts to lose meaning. Okay. I've talked to many people that, because you start to get that weightiness and then you're just like, what's it matter? And you start to lose meaning. And I want to tell you, the further and further you get away from the purpose God's called you to, the more and more you're going to feel like your life has no meaning. Because God has a purpose for you. And I want to tell you something. You guys are not good at a lot of things. Because neither am I. You are, Chris. Okay? But we're not. We weren't meant to be good at a lot of things. We live in a culture that thinks we should all be, you know, in this way and we're all here. No. God created us so that we would all be good at a certain thing or a certain few things so we have gifts. It's like taking my heart and say, you know, be my foot today. And the heart's like, no, and I'm going to be walking, pump, 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 pump. It's not going to work. And I'm going to die if my foot is my heart. Okay? And you guys all have a weird image right now. It's okay. But what I'm saying is, Scripture tells us we are the body of Christ, and each person has a part. And each of those parts are not insignificant. They keep the whole machine going. So if we're trying, if as a heart I'm trying to be a hand and an eye and an ear and a nose and a foot and every other part of the body, if I'm trying to be all that, then guess what? The body ain't going to work well. And so our life loses meaning the further we get away from our purpose. And you say, well, you got to listen to last week because we got to find our purpose and figure out what that is. God has a sweet spot for you to be in, where your life just seems to work. In Psalm 39, it says this, we are mere, and we talked a little bit about this last week, and don't worry, I'm not going to spit on anybody this week. We are merely moving shadows. Our busy rushing ends in nothing. In nothing. A lot of people feel like they have aimless, meaningless lives. And what we want for you here is to have purpose in here. And then probably the last thing, which is probably the most important thing that the Bible shares, is my relationship with God seems distant. God seems far away. He hasn't moved what we have. You know, like sometimes, like I was just thinking about, sometimes in life when I'm really hurried in my prayer life, I hit a ceiling. You know, my schedule gets so busy that I don't carve out that full time for just stopping and praying and being in the Spirit of God that I may pray on my way to such and so, and I may do this, and it hits a ceiling. That when I take time, but when it hits that ceiling, God seems a little further removed from me. I was thinking about our 14 days of prayer that we had here and the prayer meetings that we had that gave us four or five opportunities to get up super early in the morning when sleep would have been even an amazing thing by my schedule, and to come in and just connect and worship and just pray to God for a half an hour. And after that half an hour was over, I could have gone. Some days I didn't even finish because I was in the midst of that. Another day, and I hit an area in my walk with the Lord that set the tone for the rest of the day. And so when we don't often have that, because we can't do that all the time, we don't do that all the time, that sometimes I just feel like I'm hitting a ceiling in my relationship with God. So I have to be cognizant of doing those kind of things. Here's what the scripture says in Psalm 46. And we all know this: be still and know that I'm God. Now, you know, be still doesn't mean that, like what we all say, because that may work for you. I've shared with you that doesn't work for me. I got to walk and talk and pray and you know, all kinds of other stuff. That's how my mind works. If I sit still, I will think about everything else in the world but God. So when I'm moving and focusing about God, what it means is to be still in our spirits, to be still in our lives, to just receive what God has for us. Stop being moving targets. And so in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, shares this verse and says, it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. The problem is, here's the problem. And I started wondering, why do I talk about stress a lot? Why do I deal with stress a lot when I know the answers? The problem is, we know the answers. We know. We've heard this. We understand. But the truth is, we have trouble applying it to our lives, because the world demands so much. Do I have a truth quote there, Melinda? I think I put one in there. And I want to share something. Can you put the next slide up? The distance between, I heard this from a pastor, the distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. Let me say that again, because I kind of botched that. But the distance between the truth I know, so we know what we need to do with stress, don't we? We know we need to say no some. We need to change our schedules. The truth I know and the truth that I live equal the pain I experience. So the stress that we have is because we know the truth, but we aren't living it out. And that's what I want to spend the rest of the time sharing with you. I wanted to go ahead and give you a list of, oh, here's what we do, boom, boom, boom. But I came to this verse that really just had some promises in it and leapt out to my heart and to my mind as I was looking at answering this question for you about help, I'm stressed. And let's look at this verse, and it's so powerful. I'd love for you to read along with me. Can you do that? All right, so here we go. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge, Selah. Stay right there for a second. That term Selah actually means something. It's interesting. It's a musical term in Hebrew because these are all songs. And what it just basically means is, hey, take it. What they would do is they would sing that part up to there, and then they would play the music that went with that part before so that they could think about what they just sang. Okay, it's kind of like, it's a point to just say, stop and think about what God has just said. Okay, so we need that. Here's what heaven has for you. Okay, let's continue. All right, low-born men are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie, but if weighed on balance, they are nothing. They are only a breath. Last thing. Do not trust in exhortation, or though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Okay, so that's a lot of stuff, right? But there's some amazing promises that we have that's in there. So what the promise of God is that we're going to have peace in the midst of our stress. When he talks about low-born men, he's just talking about average people. He's talking about people who are very high-born. He said the low-born men are just a breath. We've talked about that. The high-born, you think, when you see those people, like, remember Robin Leach? Those of you who are old enough, I'm Robin Leach, being loud and obnoxious. Remember that guy? And he would say, lifestyles of the rich and famous, and here we go, and here's their toilet and platinum gold and all this kind of stuff. And you're like, yay, right? And you would look at that and go, wow, they just have an easy life. And what we find out is it's a lie. It's a lie. That happiness is not is not brought about from them. Some people who have all those things are some of the most miserable people that walk the face of the earth. But just like we talked about last week, as the scripture said, both high or lowborn are just a mist. We're here for this time and gone. It says, do not trust in extortion and take pride in stolen goods. In other words, it says, don't fall in love with the stuff of life. Don't fall in love, but set your hearts on something else. So there's three main issues that we have when it comes to distress, these things that really kick into stress. So I'm going to hit some of these. We're going to talk about focusing on what matters, and then we're going to send you out here today. Sound good? Number one, time. Time. How many think you're really bad on managing your time? Anybody? Or how many think other people are really good at managing your time? Okay, that's usually what happens. And so our use of time tends to be one of the biggest stressors in our life. And I believe if we really get a grasp on how we spend our time, it'll change this stress issue in our life. Because we can't do it all, and we shouldn't do it all. And so this is why it's so important, last week's message, and that's why it was kind of cool they were number one and number two. Because when you find your purpose in life, it makes it easier to say yes or no. Because when you find your purpose and what you've been called to, and somebody's asking you to be engaged or to do something that isn't your purpose, you can say what? No, because it's not going to go ahead and play into that. So it's much easier when we find our purpose, but we need to find our purpose. Number two, this is probably another one. Money. The reason why I said that is because money is has become the highest reason for divorce now today, money issues. And anybody ever stressed over money? Anybody ever stressed over having too much? If so, see me after church. We got some great things you can give to. But we do. We stress over that. And one of the things that we need to do is as painful as it is, there's some several things that we need to really do to limit the stress in these areas. Number one, I think we need to regularly do these things. We need to regularly look at what we spend, regularly look at where we spend it, and then think about the bad decisions we made. Has anybody ever made a bad decision on something that you bought? I mean, it was shiny and nice. And you could see yourself really cool with that, couldn't you? What? Okay, yeah, there we go. All right, sorry. Okay. Somebody's hitting you right now. But yes, I mean, we've done that time and time again. In 1 Timothy, it tells us that money is okay, but the desire, the lust, the need for it will mess you up pretty bad. And then the verse is really cool if you want to look it up, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 9. And he actually says something that's really awesome. He said, you brought nothing in this world, and you take nothing out of it. Like the person once said, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You know, nobody takes anything with them in this world. And as I said, money issues has become the number one reason for divorce. And probably the other one that we'll talk about, and we've talked about several times, so I'm not going to go into it deeply, is relationships. We were talking about a couple weeks ago that we need to have those beneficial relationships with people that are beneficial for us. Some of you are holding on to that best friend you had since third grade because they were your best friend in third grade, and they are a drain on your life today. You're holding on to relationships that have long been dead and gone. You're holding on for hope for that relationship to rekindle. And it's not that it's bad to be in that statement and say, I really hope this works out. But what is bad is to have your whole life focus so much on that it's ruining all the other relationships in your life. And so need to look. You ever been in those relationships where you know people or you've seen people, they work so hard to have a relationship with somebody who's completely horrible for them, but yet they're surrounded by people who love them and encourage them and strengthen them, and they don't want to take time for those relationships. So relationship is another big one. And I came to Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I came to the story in Daniel chapter 5, and it is King Peres is having a party. And this is the one where all of a sudden they're having a party and all of a sudden this hand comes and writes on the wall. Now, we don't know if it was like, poof, hand came right on the wall, or it was like an Addams Family kind of thing out of a box. And you know, like that. We don't know what happened here, but here's what we do know. They couldn't interpret it, and they were all freaked out because the hand's writing on the wall. And here's what the inscription that was written there. Many, many tekel parson. And nobody could interpret it but Daniel. And Daniel says this. Many means God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. In other words, your life has been compared. And you found that you're insufficient here. All right? And Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes. So what is Daniel actually saying here that we can take for this whole area of stress? And I think here's what it is. Number one, we need to recognize our days are numbered. Look at the person next to you and say, your days are numbered. And then make them feel better and say, so are mine. And you can say, man, I'm a little bit closer to that person than the other ones. Okay, but anyway, we don't know. So our days are numbered. We are that mist. We're that we're that vapor. We're here and gone. All right? So we only have a few days left. So if we only have a few days left, let me ask you this question. If you went to the doctor and they said, you have a few days left, that's not going to affect you, but you can do whatever you want. You have a few days left. Wouldn't all those things that you don't do that you wish you do become top priority? Wouldn't spending time with those you love, the relationships that are good for you, wouldn't that be a top priority? Wouldn't it be telling people that you love them? Wouldn't that go here? And wouldn't all that stuff that we get involved with that sucks our lives dry be out of the way and be meaningless? Of course it would. So why do we have to wait till we get a terminal diagnosis to do those things? Because guess what? We have a terminal diagnosis. I'm going to give it to you. Dr. Jack, you are all dying. It's called life. Life is a terminal disease, and you're a little bit more dead now than you were when you came in here today. Gosh, I am full of good ones today, aren't I? But you know, here's the cool thing, and we'll get to the cool thing a little bit later, okay? So the other thing that he says is our lives are out of balance. You've been weighed. If God's weighing my life according to his word, according to his plan for my life, where am I? Where am I here? You see, so we're out of whack. We're out of what is intended. And if we don't do something about one and two, recognizing that our lives are missed and that our lives are out of whack, it will cost us something. And for Perez, it cost him his kingdom. For you, I want you to do something. Here's your homework. I want you to look at your schedule. Look at your life. Look at your finances. Is your life right? How's it weighing out? And do this regularly for you. But also, if you're married, do it regularly with your spouse. Sit down and say, hey, here's the schedule. And if you have kids that are doing something, good Lord, your schedule went boom. Anybody know what happened by the time my parents had kids and I had kids? You know, like my parents would have been, I have to go here, 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 here. And they'd say, have fun walking, right? Anybody in that deal? You're going to learn how to walk. You're going to learn how to get there. We just zoom, 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 right? Anybody feel like you're just zooming all around? And it's good stuff they're doing. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we're zooming so much, we don't spend time together. Do this regularly with your spouse and your children. There's a concept of Sabbath. Sabbath is more than just checking into church. You know what? Today, if it wants to be your Sabbath, say, you're supposed to cut the grass. Say, it's Sabbath. I'm Sabbath and more. Enjoy your Sabbath and find rest for your soul. You see, stress is the enemy of the rest for the soul. And so I went through and I started looking at things that were about rest for the soul. Let's look here. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 says this. And I want you to hear this first verse. This is what the Lord says. This is not Paul. This is not James. This is not anybody. This is what God's saying. God is speaking. Listen up. Stand at the crossroads and look. Everybody's thinking of an Eric Clapton song right now, okay? Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find what? Rest for your soul. But you say it, we will not walk in it. What is this thing about crossroads? Because if we all continue, if stress is an issue and we all continue in the same path that we are, that same highway, keep rolling, no stoplights, no stop signs, we just keep on rolling, keep on rolling. You can hear this sermon. I can give a sermon every week. I can send you things to your email that talk about stress, and it won't make a hill of beans different. You have to stop and be at a crossroads of your life. You have to literally stop. And that's going to be the hardest thing for most of us, just to stop life and say, I got to look at what's going on. I got to look at why I'm so angry. I got to look at why I'm so frustrated. I got to look at life. I have to stop and create a crossroad for yourself. And as for the ancient path, you know what they're talking about? Go back to what God says for your life. Stop and look at all the scriptures about rest for your soul. There are a ton of them. Look at what God says about peace in your life. There are a ton of them. And let him begin to lay out those things for you. And if you do, here's the promise. This is what God says. Ain't what I'm saying. The promise is this. You will, not maybe, you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. And this is from Jeremiah quoting God. Because if you read anything about Jeremiah, he didn't have much peace in his life. Because of his calling, every time he opened his mouth, somebody wanted to whoop him up. And he is saying, God said to him, stop at the crossroads. Don't look at the situation. Look at what I say about it. And even though people outside and that's going to continue, you will have rest for your soul and be at peace. That is an incredible promise. Instead of me saying to you, hey, do this, 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 and this, I'm providing this and these last couple principles based off of the scripture for you to figure out for yourself rest for your soul. Because it ain't about me. It's about you and God. So here we go. Everybody ready? You will never know how to spend your time, your money, or be in right relationships unless you live with a sense of purpose and urgency. Because this is what matters. A sense of purpose and urgency matters in life. I take you back to the disciples, and I take you back to the early reformers. They had an anticipation that Jesus was returning anytime. And I want to say something sadly. I believe the church has lost that sense of urgency. We've lost the sense of urgency that our lives need to matter before we're out of this world, and they need to matter for Christ. So if you define what your life is about, it's easier for you to say yes or no. And when time is ticking, as we talked about, you know you got to get that out quicker. If we are a breath and our life has a purpose, and as we talked about last week, then we should have a desire to do those things. One of the coolest things that I like about here that we're really focusing on is our next group, church-wide group study is called Next Steps. It's based in a study series by Pastor Chris Hodges. And what we want to do is we want to help shape your life to where you can find what your purpose is. So you can find your calling and live in it. So how do we do that? Well, you can see on that wall as you walked in, we want you to know God. I want you to fall in love with Jesus. I don't care whether you like my preaching or not. It doesn't matter to me. I just want you to fall in love with God. I want you to know him and to love him and to spend time with him. I want you to read to seek him. I want you to pray to seek him. I want you to listen to music all the time because you want him. I want that because that will bring clarity to your life when you know who God is. You also see that we have no grow. What are we growing in? You have no grow, serve, share out there. What are we growing in? Growing in faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So when we have situations in life, if we grow in faith, we get to points where we say, I don't care what anybody else says. I know what God can do. And so in that, we find freedom. There's a freedom from not knowing, but just trusting God. There's a total trust in that. If you don't believe me, you remember when you were a kid, And if you were from a good family that provided everything, you didn't worry where dinner time was. You didn't worry about your clothes in the morning. You didn't worry about those things. You know why? Because your dad or mom had it taken care of. And wouldn't it be great to get to a point in life that we don't worry about whatever happens because God, our daddy, has it under control? That is freedom. And so some of us need to settle our stuff in life, settle our yesterdays. Some of us have hangups. So that's why we have small groups. That's why we want people to do life together. It's not for me. It's not for me to say, we have so many small groups. I don't even know how many they have off the top of my head. What I do know is some people are grouping together and they are having life changes and doing life together to make something better. Number three, serve. No grow, serve. What does serve mean? Serve your purpose. How do you do that? You have to discover it. We want to help you be able to discover that and to know when your purpose is in life. There were several moments in my life where I knew that a purpose in my life, when I began to, I really feel like at this point when I'm here preaching and when I'm teaching that in those realms, whether it be in church teaching or school teaching, I really feel like I'm in a zone. I really feel like God put me there for that purpose, and it feels good. And you're like, yeah, that's why it's going on so long. But I feel like I'm in the zone then, you know what I mean? And there's other things that I've had to do in my life that I haven't felt in the zone. There was a point in my life where I loved coaching. I felt like God had placed me there for that purpose. But then I knew the point when I wasn't supposed to be there anymore because it became weighty on me. It became a task. It became something that bring joy. And when it wasn't bringing joy to me, I realized, hey, God, you want to step me out. And it was because God opened a door in another area that fit the giftedness that he had called me to. And so it makes it easier to say yes or no when you're in those areas. And the last thing, share Jesus with all. What does that mean? It means this, to live out the life that God called you to. It doesn't mean you go up to everybody every day and somebody's eating at lunch and you sit at the table with them and go, have you accepted Jesus Christ? And they go, no, I just got tater tots. You know, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that you live your life in a way that's worthy of our Father. That we reflect God in each and everything. And that's why Psalm 39 says this, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeting away. My life is no longer than the width of my entire hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. In Matthew chapter 13, we have this verse that Jesus said. And I think it's so important. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything that he had to buy the field. Why did he do that? Why did he take everything he had and sold it to buy that field? Because he found something better and the treasure was greater than what he had in his life. I'm here to tell you, that's what God has for you today. He has a treasure. The treasure is something that lasts for eternity. And God wants to make a difference, wants us to make a difference in our lives. What else matters? Number two, God and people matter. Put first things first. God, family, my life, you guys are there. Put those people matters. But here's somebody else I want you to put first in the list that I've been really bad about over the years. Me. Sometimes you're so good about God and others that you forget about yourself. And if you wonder why you're stressed, because there's no you time. There's no time for you to recuperate. You haven't stopped in the crossroads of your life because you're too busy traveling for other people. Take time for yourself and see what God has for there. In Psalm 90, 12, it says this, teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are and to help us spend them as we should. How do we spend them? Matthew 6, 33. Gave you a lot of scripture today. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness and everything else is added. In other words, spend your time doing the things of God. Spend your time doing kingdom things. Spend your time doing things that last for eternity. Now I'm not saying all the stuff that we do in life is bad. I'm just saying it shouldn't be first. Because there's what's stressing them. As our worship team comes up and we wrap this down, we have this last part here. The last thing that matters is eternity. Eternity matters. And what's cool, in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about heaven, because that was one of your questions. What's heaven like? So we want to talk about that. But here's what I want you to also do. As they begin to play and get us ready for the other worship, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lower your expectations of earth. We expect too much of this earth. We expect way too much. The American gospel tends to believe that everything that heaven has, we can have here. And that's just wrong. It's just wrong. We are very blessed to live in this country. With all of its issues and everything, we are very, very blessed. Bless the most of the world. Bless the most of the people that walk the face of this earth. But believing that this earth will give you all the satisfaction and rest for your soul will leave you more stressed out than anything. Because the simple fact is, you will fall apart if you believe this earth can meet the needs that your soul needs. They won't. I was thinking about some of the generations before us. And they got it right. And I've been to places in the world, for instance, Haiti, where people who have nothing and seeing the joy that they have when they come together in Christ and the hope that they have in him. You see, for them, they have to trust in him. And seeing that and recognizing that their circumstances are horrific by this world's standards. Oh, but they know. They know that as it was told to them and told to us, that we are just passing through. I think of the early hymn writers, and we have some great worship songs now, but there are very few songs that talk about heaven. Have you noticed that? Like some of you remember the old hymn, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand, there my soul will be eternal. Beulah Land. Or other ones, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. You see, there was song upon song because it wasn't just they were doing it. It was because it was in their heart. They realized, hey, the struggles of life are here, but I'm passing through. I'm just passing through because as I read, Paul understood it in 2 Corinthians. And sadly, I only share this at funerals, but we need to do it before we're dead. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us what kind of glory? An eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, okay, Paul, well, how do I do it? He says, I got the answer. So we fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary. It's that mist, that hand, that vapor. But what is unseen is eternal. Fix your eyes on him. Jesus said to his disciples in a time where they knew it was going to get difficult. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Because here's the promise that I have. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And if I go, because I got to go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, it's got Jack's name there. And it's going to be good. It's going to have the best hi-fi system. It's going to have a Taylor guitar where the battery never runs out. It's going to be awesome. Eagles football on all the day, the Super Bowl winning thing, right, every day. It's going to be nice. Dallas Cowboys will be in hell. It's all right, so... Sorry, that's Jesus. No, it's not me. All right. But it's going to be awesome because guess what? Jesus went and prepared it for me. And for you. If you take the offer that he has, which is give me your life. Take all those afflictions and lay them and cast them on me. Because in my Father's house, there are many places. You know, I'd love to say that when you leave here, you're not going to have a bit of stress. But you are. But you're going to have what the scripture calls, when you look at the things that are eternal, that blessed hope. That blessed hope that we're passing through. Because Jesus has an offer more than a better now. He has a better place. He has a better place. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in him. Amen? All right, let's stand up and let's worship the Lord in our final song today.
Hand that saves.
voice that calms the stormy seas. It's calling me by name. I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise, the promise of your life, 'cause I am yours forever, and Jesus, you are mine. Oh, Jesus, you are mine. And when I have forgotten the fullness of your grace, yes, I remember Calvary, where you took my place. I'm singing in the victory of the cross. I'm resting in the shadow of your redeeming love. I'm standing on the promise, the promise of your life, 'cause I am yours forever, and Jesus, you are mine. Oh, Jesus, you are mine. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, you are mine. Yeah. There is no one like you, God. Love immeasurable and strong. There is no one like you, God. So lead this heart to sing in.
Just keep praying where you are.
as some are just connecting, isn't it good that we can come together in a place and have people pray with us and connect to us, and we can connect to the Lord? That's what this is about. This isn't about a franchise or anything else. The only franchise we care about is the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to see. We want God to do what he has here. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I want to do something. Dave, can you come up here? Come here, Dave. Several months ago, I was sharing some bits of my story, and I shared about a youth weekend. And come here, buddy. So I shared about a guy who was the youth person that night and just sat and played a guitar. And it was at that point that I received my calling to ministry and connected with a couple people who became lifelong friends, one who is actually a board member of our church. And the guy who dealt with a bunch of kids that weekend and sat up there, and all he did was sit at an altar and begin to play music with his guitar and let God move, was this guy here, Dave Staples. And so Haven Church is here because he took time to fill the gifts that God called him to do, so that God could speak to me. And so I just wanted to show you him. And I'm going to ask if you'll just kind of give us, can you kind of get us an out of here benediction, Dave? I know it's impromptu, but hey, pray preacher die at a moment's notice is what John Wesley says.
Praise God. The Lord said, in season, out of season, any time.
That's right.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you so much for this morning of praise. Lord, we know it's your Holy Spirit that opens the doors every Sunday and brings people in. And we just ask, oh God, that those that have come, Lord, have really been blessed. And we just pray, Lord, that our praise has been glorious in your sight. We just thank you, oh God. We just pray that you be with us as we continue on. And Lord, we know that there's going to be stress. It's always going to be stress. But we just thank you and praise you, Lord, because we know you are here and that you can take us through that. And we pray, oh God, that you help us to seek you first and not last after we get really all stressed out. We just thank you and praise you so much for all that you have done here and what you're doing here at this church. And we just ask, oh God, that you just will continue. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Have a great-